everybody, or something like that. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. It is Monday night, and what is it? Tomorrow is the primary. Where in Wisconsin? Is it Wisconsin? Not that I care. I'm trying not to care, which isn't very hard to do. Ken Christie is the sponsor of this hour. Ken's message: true progressives will vote for Obama. Anything else would be irresponsible, self-defeating nonsense. Ken, thanks for the sponsorship. We'll agree to disagree on your message. Well, I'm not supposed to agree or disagree with your message. That's your message. True progressives will vote for Obama. Anything else would be irresponsible, self-defeating nonsense. Ken Christie. Sam Perry. Today, I want to get too far into this, but Sam Perry has a rather lengthy article at consortiumnews.com. He's talking about, Sam's writing about the argument that the Supreme Court is apparently going to use in order to end the Affordable Care Act. And that argument is the government does not have the right to order people to buy things or I guess that's it. I don't know. The mandate is the part that supposedly is going to fall. And when the mandate falls, well, that's the part under challenge. And when that goes down, the rest of it goes down. George Washington and James Madison, by the way, saw nothing wrong with issuing mandates to citizens to, in their case, buy muskets for militia. Anyway, Sam Perry writes, what happens to a republic under a written constitution if a majority of the Supreme Court, which is empowered to interpret that constitution, goes rogue? What if the court's majority simply ignores the wording of the founding document and makes up the law to serve some partisan end? Does that, in effect, turn the country into a lawless state where raw power can muscle aside the democratic process? And then Sam answers pretty much his own questions there. He says something very much like that could be happening if the Supreme Court's five Republicans continue their apparent path to strike down the individual mandate at the heart of the Affordable Care Act. In doing so, they will be rewriting the Constitution's key Commerce Clause, and thus reshaping America's system of government by fiat rather than by the prescribed method of making such changes through the amendment process. The only way the five Republicans can strike down the individual mandate, and with it probably the entire law, the only way is to ignore the literal and traditional interpretations of the Commerce Clause by redefining the word regulate to mean something it has never meant before and that the framers of the Constitution never intended. Here's the plain text of the Commerce Clause. It's so straightforward that a middle school child should be able to understand it. Here it is, quote, Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes, end quote. And the word regulate means today what it meant then. As was noted in a ruling last November written by Judge Lawrence Silberman, a senior judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, a conservative appointee of President Ronald Reagan. I think it was Silberman who ordered the release onto the Internet, I'm getting confused here, I'm sure, about the porn novel written by Ken Starr when he was investigating Bill Clinton's penis. Anyway, I digress. In upholding the individual mandate as constitutional, Silberman wrote, quote, at the time the Constitution was fashioned, to regulate meant, as it does now, to adjust by rule or method, as well as to direct. To direct, in turn, included to prescribe certain measures, to mark out a certain course, and to order, to command. In other words, to regulate can mean to require action, end quote. So, for the individual mandate to clear the Commerce Clause hurdle, it must be a regulation of commerce among the states. Everyone agrees that health care and health insurance are interstate markets. Check. Everyone also agrees that health care and health insurance are commerce. Check. There's also no dispute that the individual mandate is a form of regulation. Check. Judge Silberman went through the same checklist and concluded that there was no textual support in the Constitution for striking down the individual mandate because the word regulate has always included the power to compel people to act. And yeah, that's Sam Perry writing at consortiumnews.com. And it's a lengthy piece. I suggest you read it. It's titled, If the Supreme Court Goes Rogue. Consortiumnews.com. If the Supreme Court goes rogue, which means to go lawless, which means to violate the U.S. Constitution. Now, some of us make the strong argument that they already did so on December 12th, 2000. To, if not to violate the absolute letter of the law, like will be violated here if they strike down the mandate, but certainly the spirit of the law, where it concerned the right of the people to select its leaders, which was the elemental idea in the Declaration of Independence. Look, we've had enough. We're going to govern ourselves. And those who will govern us will govern us with the consent of the governed. But the Supreme Court on December 12, 2000, said to the people of Florida, your vote doesn't count. We accept the fraud. George W. Bush is president. So when this ruling comes down, probably in May, possibly in June, take note of the justices, and there may be five of them, who vote that Congress does not have the authority where it concerns the mandate. Take note, because those will be the justices who took a look at the Constitution and decided to use it as toilet paper or worse, and have decided that on their own, in keeping with their political philosophy and their religious philosophy, they are going to dictate through judicial fiat the law of the land. And how many times have you heard the right-wingers in this country mewling and screaming and clawing at each other about activist court? Because some liberal court said there shouldn't be a poll tax, or some liberal court said separate but equal doesn't work. So just wanted to get that said. When we come back after this break, we'll get to the important things today, like another mass killing at another university. 21 past the hour. Now, in keeping with the attitude of this Supreme Court, that by anybody's definition, any rational person, I'm not talking about teabaggers or right-wingers, but any rational person can start to form an opinion as to whether or not the Supreme Court is progressive, conservative, neutral, fascist, left-wing. The court is supposed to be neutral. But if you take a look at the rulings of this court, the Roberts Court, and even prior to the Roberts Court, if you come to the conclusion that the court is neutral where it concerns interpreting the Constitution, you're either unable to comprehend what they're doing, or you're a right-winger. I repeat myself. I'm sorry. The Supreme Court ruled today that those arrested for even minor violations, even if they are mistakenly arrested, may be strip searched before it being admitted to jail. Now, for even minor violations, what could be more minor than an outstanding warrant for parking tickets? Can you think of anything real quick? I can't either. Justice Kennedy lined himself with the four fascists on the Supreme Court in this 5-4 ruling, saying the correction officials have good reason, quote, to perform thorough searches at intake for disease, gang affiliation, and contraband, end quote. Kennedy went on to say, there is a substantial interest in preventing any new inmate, whether either of his own will or as a result of coercion, from putting all who live or work at these institutions at even greater risk when he is admitted to the general population, end quote. Justice Roberts, Chief Justice, and Sammy the Fish Alito agreed, but wrote separately to emphasize that the decision concerned only those admitted to the general population. An exception to this rule might apply to those detained on minor charges and kept apart from the rest of the jail population, they said. Sounds like a carve-out for white folks, doesn't it? This is in the Washington Post. The case was brought by Albert Florence, a New Jersey man. Oh, if you're keeping count, yeah, he was non-white. He's African-American. He brought the case. A New Jersey man who said he was subjected to two invasive inspections in 2005 after being mistakenly arrested for not paying a fine. A state trooper pulled over Florence's BMW in 2005 as he and his family were on the way to his mother-in-law's to celebrate the purchase of their new home. He was handcuffed, arrested in front of his distraught pregnant wife and young son. He spent 7 days in jail because of a warrant that said mistakenly he was wanted for not paying a court fine. In fact, he had proof that the fine had been paid years earlier. He said he carried it in his glove box because he believed that police were suspicious of black men who drove nice cars. Florence was jailed in Burlington County and then Essex County before a magistrate ordered him released. At Burlington, he was forced to disrobe in front of an officer and told to lift his genitals. At Essex, he was strip searched again and said he was made to squat and cough in front of others, a maneuver meant to expel anything hidden in a body cave, a cavity, yeah, his anus. In 1979, the Supreme Court said that prisons could conduct body cavity searches of inmates after visits with outsiders on the theory that those from the outside world might attempt to bring contraband to the prisoner. But for decades afterwards, courts held that there were constitutional issues involved when someone was being arrested and detained. A court fine. Justice Breyer dissented. Ruth Bader Ginsburg dissented. Sonia Sotomayor dissented. And Elena Kagan dissented. We'll be right back.
Redefining Anger Management, back to Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. It's pretty astonishing. Strip search. When you go to a county jail. So remember that if you're driving someplace where there is a law about seat belts. You know, you have to have one on in order to be legal, and you don't have your seatbelt on. You have to get used to this idea, truth seekers. This is what fascism looks like. Very slowly, very incrementally, when you have an executive branch that can order the assassination of American citizens, when you have a judicial branch that can stop vote counting, when you have a legislative branch that can legislate in favor of the people who really own it, the millionaires and billionaires, to coin a phrase, what is that if it isn't fascism? This hour again is sponsored by Ken Christie. His message, true progressives will vote for Obama. Anything else would be irresponsible, self-defeating nonsense. The Supreme Court, especially this one, I think is it demonstrably working toward gutting civil liberties, gutting any attempt to bring fair play or justice or equality of opportunity or equality under the law. Pretty amazing stuff. The Supreme Court also ruled that Congress, remember a few years ago, the don't bring your guns near a school laws that were passed, unconstitutional. Seven people died and three more wounded at another berserk person with a gun, went insane. Small California religious college today. He didn't have time or the inclination to kill himself, so he's in custody. I wonder if they strip searched him. What do you think? According to CNN, several of the victims were students. Gunfire erupted inside the single-story building. that houses the private Christian college about 10:30 a.m. local time, according to so-and-so who was teaching in an English class when it began. Private Christian college, or is it Oikos University? Who knows? The college, which caters to the Korean-American Christian community, offers degrees in theology, music, nursing, and Asian medicine, according to its website. So seven more dead. And, of course, guns don't kill people. People kill people. So any attempt to try to get a handle, so to speak, on gun ownership in this country is doomed before it even starts. This is the legacy of the right-wing crazy people. It's very simple, you know. It is more important to have gun rights than it is to have the right to vote or the right to just present your voter registration card to vote. It's more important that whether you have a voter registration card or not, that you should be allowed by law to walk into a polling place fully armed with semi-automatic weaponry. You should have the right to do that, you see, in this sick goddamn country. Then you should have the right to vote with just your voter registration card. So you tell me. Am I being overly cynical when I say this is a sick goddamn country? Is that too much? Is that just, oh, gee, Malloy, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? Good question. But that's a different question. You know, the question on the table is, what is it about this sick society that we have a legislature, many of them, state and, of course, the national, that cannot vote against crazy legislation proposed by the most obscene, crazy people in this country? And that is every single member of the National Rifle Association is a crazed, gun-loving freak. You know it. I know it. And as far as your emails that I'm sure are going to come now, kiss my ass, okay? I don't need your emails. They make me sick. No registration for your guns, but you better bring photo ID if you want to vote. So, seven more dead today. Let's see how many will die tomorrow or next week. Or the week after that. And each and every time the anatomically denied gun nuts will continue to push for more, you know, more guns in bars, guns on university and fraternity houses. Yeah, if everybody would have been armed today at this Christian college, well, gee, gosh, wow, maybe somebody could have, you know, shot the gunzel before he killed seven and wounded three, right? Pow, 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 bang, 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 bang. Let's do it in high schools. Let's do it in prayer meeting in church. Huh? Let's do that. Person should have a right to carry his gun wherever he wants to carry it, right? Or his AR-15, or his AK-47, or his Kalashnikov, or his, whatever it is. Why not? I mean, you know, when outlaws only are gunned down, gun-downed outlaws will be gunned down, or something like that, right? And, you know, what is really funny is come the Republican National Convention down there in Tampa. Yes, sir. How about this from, where is this from? Think Progress. Malachi says, hoping to head off violent protesters during the Republican National Convention, Mayor Bob Buckhorn has proposed a litany of items that would be considered security threats during the week-long event. The list runs from air pistols to water pistols and also includes items such as masks, plastic or metal pipe, and string more than 6 inches long. Conspicuously absent from the list of potential weapons? Firearms! That's because state law bans local governments from placing any restrictions on the carrying of guns in public places. Ooh, son of a bitch, I can't wait. That would be a good time to go on vacation. Go down to Tampa, cut over to the Gulf beaches, and when the convention starts... Well, son of a bitch, I'll just show up. Let me see. I'll take the 9. I've got a real small, hard-to-detect 32 caliber 5-shot revolver. That's a baby gun. What else can I take? Let me see. That'll be enough. And I'll just, since I don't have a concealed permit for Florida, not that anyone needs one down there anymore, I'll just carry it on my hip. And then I shall walk into or walk up to the, I don't have a press pass, of course, but I'll just walk up and I say, everybody get armed and go down there. Hell yeah. Hey, why not?
They still have that law, the, you know, self-defense, help me.
Stand your ground.
Stand my ground.
I'll feel threatened with the whole damn convention. I just go down there and, I don't know, I can use some string.
This is security. This is no.
I'll use some string. Hell, you
well,
see?
That's what I was going to ask you now. Wait a minute, because I'm getting all confused again.
No, not to be confused. Here it is. Here you go.
You can't have string?
No. Mayor Bob Buckhorn has proposed. Here's a list. It'll be considered security threats. Air pistols. Water pistols. Masks. Plastic or metal pipe and string more than 6 inches long. 7 inches of string, your ass is going to jail.
What if it's
your ass is going to be strip searched. Your ass is going to be cavity searched.
What if it's a shoelace or, you know.
Doesn't matter.
Yo-yo.
Doesn't matter. But guns, bring your gun, bro. Come on down. Stand your ground. Bring your guns!
No kites.
Hell yeah! Bring it all!
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This answer. This oh God. This hour. Hello, has been sponsored by Ken Christie. Thanks, Ken. His message: true progressives will vote for Obama. Anything else would be irresponsible, self-defeating nonsense. Thanks for the sponsorship, Ken. So, there'll be a lot of teabaggers who are going to go to this convention. And if you all don't show up armed, you're just wimps. You're just a bunch of little thumb-sucking babies. Remember how you had such a problem with the Secret Service controlling guns when Obama spoke? You said it was a violation of your constitutional rights? So, you nutbags, are you going to show up in Tampa with your guns? I certainly hope so. Because if you don't, you're a bunch of little thumb-sucking cowards, aren't you? Well, I mean, even more so. I also hope there are lots of protesters out there with pieces of string 5 3/4 inches long, right? Just hold them up, keep them under 6 inches, and make the militarized police force in Tampa come and measure your goddamn string. Huh? Hey, look, officer! I got string! What kind of string? Yarn? Thread? Well, what about if somebody is knitting or sewing? Well, does that count?
How about fishing?
Now, Florida, of course, lacks the power to prevent federal officials from doing their jobs, so the Secret Service will still be able to ban guns in a smaller security zone surrounding the convention itself. But as Think Progress has it, lest there be any doubt, there is no legitimate Second Amendment issue here. As Justice Scalia explained in District of Columbia versus Heller, the Constitution does not limit, quote, laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places such as schools and government buildings, end quote. Certainly a convention that includes a major party's presidential nominee and a significant percentage of the nation's elected officials should qualify as such a, you know, sensitive place. Well, I don't know. You NRA bastards, here's a perfect test case for you. Come on, your constitutional rights are being urinated on. They really are. You going to allow that? Huh? You going to allow that to happen? All you teabaggers, you mean to tell me you're just going to knuckle under to, you know, it's Obama's fault. He's the one that wrote the law. Obama wrote the Brady Law. You know that. So are you going to let this Kenyan Muslim dictate your right to carry a gun into a political convention? Come on, boys and girls. Load up. Come on. I want to see some of you suckers there with rifles. No string longer than 5 inches, but rifles. Come on, boys. Come on, girls.
Founding fathers would have done it.
Yeah, didn't the founding fathers show up at their constitutional convention with their muskets and their hand grenades and their AK-47s and their flamethrowers? Well, hell yeah, they did. Just like you should do, you teabag freaks. I mean, your convention is going to be, and that dirty dog Romney. You know what Romney's going to do, don't you? As soon as he's elected, he's going to take your guns away. He is. Romney's not a gunman. Romney's going to get elected. He's going to pass a bill that says from now on, all school proms have to be integrated. And I don't mean just black kids and white kids get to go there. The integration part comes every single couple has to be an integrated couple. He's going to do that. He's going to pass that law. I know he is. And he's going to take your guns away. Mitt Romney is going to get all your guns. And then he's going to come after your old ladies, too. You know that, right? Are you going to let this happen, you patriotic, you know, you strong, silent types? You're not going to let this happen, are you? Come on, boys. We're talking freedom here. We're talking freedom. Good God, where do we live? Oh, yeah, a small bomb exploded outside a Planned Parenthood clinic in Grand Chute, Wisconsin, Sunday night. Must have been after church services, I'm sure. And police are investigating to learn who planted the device. It wasn't a very good bomb. It was probably put together in Sunday school class because it sat up on a windowsill and it set off a small fire which burned out before the fire crews arrived. The building sustained a little amount of damage, like the windowsill was dented and one pane of glass and, you know, obviously an amateur group. Well, it was Sunday night, right? Come on, you bomb throwers, you cowardly sons of bitches. Take some of those bombs with you on down to the convention. You going to do that? Doesn't say anything about bombs. It does say about string. Don't bring string. Don't bring anything goes pop, pop, pop. You sick, sick people. Grand Chute Police Chief Greg Peterson told the Appleton Post-Crescent that the bomb was made out of a plastic bottle and chemicals and included agents of an incendiary quality. On Sunday, even. On the Lord's Day. Oh, my goodness. Sponsored by Alice at Helin Hollers in Arkansas. Helin Hollers, it's on my website. Just click on her ad there, Helin Hollers. Her message to Commander Kool-Aid and all the rest of you right-wing rabble who threaten to destroy my business if I continue to advertise on Mike's website. I'd like to recommend some Cedar Superior scent. It will help relieve your anxiety and worry, improve your concentration, and help to focus your scattered thoughts. And once you're focused and free from fear, perhaps you can concentrate on crawling out of the chaotic nightmare you inhabit and help build a peaceful world with the rest of us. Alice at Helin Hollers. Amen, Alice. I gotta love that woman. Cedar Superior scent. It does. It calms me right down. I have a cup of it every night before I go to bed. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the tea. Cedar Superior scent. I'll tell you what you do with it. You put just a little touch of it right here in that little spot underneath that thing that keeps your nose holes apart right there on your upper lip. What's that called, Kathy? The Cupid bow. If I look up in a book of anatomy, I'm going to find Cupid bow. Anyway, Alice at Helin Hollers. Let me just share that with you again. To Commander Kool-Aid and all the rest of you right-wing rabble who threaten to destroy my business if I continue to advertise on Mike's website, I'd like to recommend some Cedar Superior scent to y'all. It will help relieve your anxiety and worry, improve your concentration, and help to focus your scattered thoughts. And once you're focused and free from fear, perhaps you can concentrate on crawling out of the chaotic nightmare you inhabit and help build a peaceful world with the rest of us. Signed, Alice at Helin Hollers. Yeah, Alice, I guess everybody who advertises with me got a lot of hate mail from these half-witted morons who you know, use the kind of language that's beyond belief. Of course, they're all Christians, too. That's the part that's very interesting to me. I'm going to pray that God kill you. Go to Helen Hollers. Go to my website, MikeMalloy.com, and click on the Alice's ad there. She's got some stuff that is just incredible. And I just have to tell you, I'm just grateful as hell that this woman has stayed with this broadcast all these years. Aside from the fact that her products are excellent. You right-wing half-wits ought to try some. Instead of writing nasty emails to Alice, order some of her stuff, for God's sake. Just do it. Calm you down a little bit, you silly bastards. Lord. Are we broadcasting in Gainesville, Georgia tonight?
Don't know.
If we are, hey, Gainesville. Malloy's in your ear tonight in Gainesville, Georgia. Or not. As Kathy says, or not. What's the station there, Kathy, if they've picked us up?
Something above 1,000.
No, seriously, what? I want to give their call letters on the air here. Oh. Oh, okay. They're not sure they want us. They're not sure they're broadcasting this program? I see. Well, this program comes with a heavy duty warning to consumers. Trust me on that. The Filtrum? What? Wait a second. The Filtrum, that little thing there is called the Filtrum. You better look that up. Somebody just sent this to me. I think they're pulling my leg or my Filtrum.
I just think of your nasal sternum, you know.
Sternum?
No, your septum, your nasal septum, I mean.
Well, that's this thing. That's
right.
That's what the Coke users eat through. But this thing out here, this little thing right here, you put some of that cedar oil on there. Some cedar superior scent, right? Or is it really called the Filtrum? No, come on. A priest in Northern Ireland is being investigated. According to the BBC, here's what happened last week. Father Martin McVeigh was going to show a, you know, normal PowerPoint slideshow from a memory stick at a Holy Communion presentation, and there were 26 parents and an 8-year-old kid there, and I didn't know that they use PowerPoint presentations in at communion, but you know, what do I know? So anyway, he flips everything on. And 16 images of gay porn popped up on the screen unexpectedly, resulting in McVeigh removing the stick quickly. One parent at the meeting told the BBC he was visibly shaken and flustered. He gave no explanation or apology to the group and bolted out of the room. The coordinator and the teachers then continued with the presentation. The meeting continued in his absence. However, the parents who viewed the pictures were horrified and distracted. McVeigh told UTV in the UK, he said, "Well, don't know how it happened." He said, "There are people making innuendos who weren't even there. But in this day and age, these stories grow." What? He doesn't know how it happened. Well, obviously, you popped in the wrong memory stick. Man. Oh, Cardinal Brady, the head of the Catholic Church in Ireland, released a statement on the issue. He said, quote, "The priest has stated that he had no knowledge of the offending imagery. The archdiocese immediately sought the advice of the police service in Northern Ireland, who indicated that on the basis of the evidence available, no crime had been committed. The priest is cooperating with an investigation of the matter on the part of the archdiocese. Now can we all just go back to praying? There's nothing here to see. For heaven's sake, just let it go. So the man had a bit of his stuff with him. It doesn't matter. Wow, what a story. Well, there was only one kid there, one eight-year-old, and 26 parents. Porn. Now, look here. We're going to show you this PowerPoint presentation on how Holy Communion works. Ow!
So the philtrum, apparently, is a real term. And it doesn't have any known function, but we're the only primate-based beings that have it. All mammals have something, some line there, but only human beings have that sort of extroverted lip. They think it has to do with the ability to form various words and show nonverbal expressions on your face to express yourselves without communicating with your mouth. But probably has to do with language development.
Uh huh.
There you go.
Well, thanks.
No problem.
I'm glad that there is some place, and it has a name, where you can put some Cedar Superior scent. Commander Kool-Aid and the rest of you right-wing rabble. Just take a little bit, put it there on your on your pinky finger up on the tipper. Put it right up in there. There you go. And then sniff up a couple times and sit out on the back porch a little bit. Look up at the pine trees and the moon coming up over, and everything's going to be all right.
I want to live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot.
Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. From the Department of Absolutely Useless, not to mention redundant information. In this case, it comes from the Independent of the UK yesterday. The man who told the convenient lies to the warmongers in this country, the neocons who wanted to avoid Iraq. That man whose lies led to at least a million, probably more deaths, has confessed. He will have his first television interview, or he may, well, he's had it by now, on Monday. Curveball. Remember him? He was the man whose lies helped make the case for invading Iraq. According to the Independent of the UK that saw the video before it, went, it was broadcast, he smiles as he confirms how he made the whole thing up. It was a confidence trick that changed the course of history. And Curveball's real name is Rafid Ahmad Alwan Al-Janabi. He tries to defend his actions in the video. He says, quote, "My main purpose was to topple the tyrant in Iraq, because the longer this dictator remains in power, the more the Iraqi people will suffer from this regime's oppression," end quote. Now, he was a chemical engineer, Curveball was, and he claims to have overseen the building of a mobile biological laboratory when he sought political asylum in Germany in 1999. His lies were presented by Colin Powell, Secretary of State. They were presented as facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. Remember, that's what Colin Powell said when he went before the UN Security Council in February of 2003. However, curveball, speaking in the two-part series entitled Modern Spies, that started tonight on BBC Two, says none of it was true. When it is put to him this way, are you telling us that we went to war in Iraq on a lie and that lie was your lie? He simply replies, yes. Now, according to the Independent of the UK, U.S. officials, you know who they were, Cheney, Rumsfeld, the whole cadre of neoconservatives whose allegiance first, last, and always is to Israel and then to the United States, if at all to the United States, they sexed up Curveball's drawings of Mobile Biological Laboratories, weapons labs, to make them more presentable. Now, that admission comes from Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Colin Powell's former chief of staff. Wilkerson says, quote, I brought the White House team in to do the graphics. Intelligence was being worked to fit around the policy. You remember that. The massive lies, and nobody in the Bush crime organization is ever going to be held accountable for crimes against humanity. Nobody. And as far as his former boss, Colin Powell, Lawrence Wilkerson said, quote, I don't see any way on this earth that Secretary Powell doesn't feel almost a rage about Curveball and the way he was used in regards to that intelligence, end quote. Well, you know, if you want to buy that, go ahead. And after you bought that, I've got a bridge in New York. I like to say Colin Powell is a suck up. He always was. He was one of these go along, get along guys. You want me to do some dirty work? I'll do it. Just advance me. Colin Powell, I mean, a four-star general, someone who, why bother? But he's going to blame it now on Curveball rather than take responsibility. It was Colin Powell who gave the address. And if you remember, sitting right behind him was, what was his name? The real devil from Iran-Contra. There were so many of those demons that operated inside the Reagan administration. I can see the picture, a chrome dome type, you know, a real bald-headed sucker sitting right behind, John Negroponte, that's right, it was him, sitting back there, looking down at his papers, knowing full well that he had ordered the Secretary of State of the United States to go before Congress and lie. Or not Congress, but the UN. UN Security Council. And, of course, Colin Powell now wants to say, well, you know, I don't know anything. I mean, you know, I was just following orders.
Redefining Anger Management, back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Alice at Heelan Hollers. And she has a message. To Commander Kool-Aid and all the rest of you right-wing rabble who threaten to destroy my business if I continue to advertise on Mike's website, well, I like to recommend some Cedar Superior scent. See, right about there, I would have been screaming obscenities, but not Alice. I'd like to recommend some Cedar Superior scent. It will help relieve your anxiety and worry, improve your concentration, and help to focus your scattered thoughts. And once you're focused and free from fear, perhaps you can concentrate on crawling out of that chaotic nightmare you inhabit and help build a peaceful world with the rest of us. Alice at Heelan Hollers. Yeah, that's great advice. Great advice. So you right-wingers, just try it. I mean, it'll definitely calm you down and make you think about mama and, you know. Cedar Superior scent is just wonderful stuff. Of course, I'm inclined towards patchouli, but as a second place, I would take Cedar Superior scent in a heartbeat. Phones are open, 877-996-2556, if you want to join in the fun and frivolity here tonight. The EPA has decided to delay yet again, according to thehill.com, the air pollution standards for natural gas wells developed with the controversial method called hydraulic fracturing, or as it's referred to, fracking. Fracking. I always thought that word came very close to being a different F word. You know, get fracked. So the EPA had originally signed a consent decree with environmental groups that said by April 3rd, tomorrow, the EPA would complete rules to slash smog-forming and toxic emissions from gas wells, compressors, oil storage tanks, and other oil and gas sector equipment. That was the deal. In a statement today, the EPA said, quote, EPA and parties have agreed to a two-week extension on a consent decree to issue final air rules for the oil and natural gas industry. The agency requested the additional time to fully address the issues raised in the more than 156,000 public comments we received on the proposed rules, end quote. Now, the rules, of course, are aimed at cutting back smog-forming volatile organic compounds, emissions of benzene, which are linked to cancer, and releases of methane, which is even more potent a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. The rule that everyone is waiting for, at least in the sane little corners left in the United States, you know, inhabited by environmentalists and people who agree that it would be good to breathe air and drink water and have soil that we can plant things in, you know, the very, very narrow part of the slice of the American population. But that little slice is waiting for the rule. It's one of several efforts by the Obama administration, to toughen oversight of hydraulic fracturing. Now, it's the fracking, of course, that has made the United States right now a net exporter of natural gas and of course, unrelated, but kind of related, gasoline. We're awash in it. But no, Barack Obama has used up all the gasoline in the country. There's none left. The little teacups full of gasoline that are sitting in a mine shaft someplace out in Nevada. And everybody knows this. I mean, go to the right-wing websites. They'll tell you Barack Obama sent all the gasoline to his friends in Kenya or Russia, Cuba, sent all, or Venezuela, sent, and the only thing we have left in the national reserves, those critical reserves, in case we're ever attacked by the dirty, filthy Russians, the only thing we have left now are teacups full of gasoline, natural gas, gasoline, oil, teacups. That's all we have. And that's Obama's fault. It really is. And now this Obama administration says it wants to toughen oversight of fracking. Nah. Well, the Interior Department is working on rules for fracking that occurs on public lands. That means when you're off someplace with your family, if you ever get to take a vacation ever again, you know, as long as there's not a big admission fee like a national park, there are admission fees, but they're manageable. For people who are still working, they're manageable. So you go to a national park and get out in the wilderness a little bit, nice lake, and you have the camper that you rented, and you set it up, and the kids grab the swimming poles, and all of a sudden a goddamn earthquake shakes where your little camper is set up. What's that? Earthquake! No. That's just fracking. Got to get to that natural gas. Ah, yeah. EPA is going to set air pollution standards, too, you know? It can't be over a 6.4 earthquake, and it can't be more than 87 million parts per million parts per million parts to breathe, or to pretend to breathe, or something. You see how crazy this is? You see how crazy this is? And you see how the crazy is just going to continue. I mean, right? It's just going to continue. Get some of that cedar superior scent. I'm serious. There's nothing like aromatherapy. As long as you don't call it aromatherapy. I hate that. I hate it. I mean, there's certain things I love to smell, and it calms me down. Patchouli is one of them. Cedar is another one. But then they had to go and screw it up back in the 80s. Oh, this is called aromatherapy. No, it's not. It's called something that smells good. Damn. Edward is in Niagara Falls, New York, listening on XM. Hello, Edward.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I wanted to call up and talk about what you were saying about stand your ground law, for one thing.
Yeah.
And as far as I don't really have a problem with that, as long as, you know, you're legally licensed to carry a firearm, you're not a convicted felon or nothing, that is your Second Amendment right. And it is just another arm of the government reaching out to further erode rights of law-abiding citizens. And, you know, I got a right to carry, and I carry it everywhere. I've even brought my pistol to a PTA meeting before.
What are you afraid is going to happen at a PTA meeting, Edward?
Well, I'm not afraid of nothing going to happen.
Well, then why do you carry a gun?
It's my right to do so.
Well, it's also your right to masturbate in public, but I don't think you do that, do you?
I don't think that's a right.
Well, sure it is. Well, what's not a right about it? I mean, just because you have a right to do something, I mean, what's the point in taking a gun to a PTA meeting? Can you explain that to me? I'm just curious. And would you kill? Would you kill that rooster?
There was no point to it. It was just like,
well, do you why? Why do you take it to church?
I mean, there's certain
places. Do you take it to the bathroom? How do you hold your gun and wipe after you've gone to the toilet? How do you do that? You know, I wonder about you people sometimes. How do you do things like that? You got a gun in one hand, and you're trying to pee with the other. How do you do that? Now, I can understand how women could do that, maybe, but how about you, dude? I mean, how do you hold your gun and pee? I'm just curious. Do you hold your gun in your dominant hand, or do you hold your penis in your dominant hand? What do you do? How do you do that? You people are just goddamn crazy. Do you know that? You're crazy. It's my right. Don't call me again, please. Call Michael Savage. He loves to play kissy face with freaks like you. I don't appreciate you at all. Don't call again. I have a right. And what's this? You're not allowed to masturbate in public? Is somebody... Well, I have a right to do that! Somebody is interfering with my constitutional damn rights! I'm going to stand my ground on that one. Look out. Hoo-ah.
Sometimes I stick my head in the sand. Sometimes I'm grand. But all of this silence is killing me. Silence is filling me. No, no, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. It takes a lifetime to learn what's been lost. Why are we all fighting? Oh, why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong.
It was the hottest day.
Bed angry, let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
No, I'm not the least bit angry. Who are you talking about? 10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Alice at Heal and Hollers. And Alice has a message to Commander Kool-Aid and all the rest of you right-wing rabble who would threaten to destroy her business if she continued to advertise on this on my website. Alice says, I'd like to recommend some Cedar Superior scent. That's what. It'll help relieve your anxiety and worry, improve your concentration, and help to focus your scattered thoughts. And once you're focused and free from fear, perhaps you can concentrate on crawling out of the chaotic nightmare you inhabit. Help build a peaceful world with the rest of us. Alice at Heal and Hollers. Crawl out of the chaotic, like that last guy was on the phone. Oh, hell, I took a gun to a PTA meeting. Oh, really? Well, aren't you one hell of a man? Oh, God have mercy. Where did these people come from? Alice, thank you very much. You can concentrate on crawling out of that chaotic nightmare you inhabit. Oh, my God. Yeah, I took a gun to PTA meeting. Well, aren't you just a good little boy? You get a gold star. Why'd you take it to PTA meeting? Because I could.
All right.
It's my right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the chuckle, Alice. Dave is in Edmonton, Alberta, up here near them tar sands, right, Dave? Dave? Hey, Dave! I'll put you on hold, Dave. Maybe something's wrong with our phone system. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
How are you all doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was 80 degrees here yesterday, and today it's snowing. But there's no such thing as global climate change.
No, hell no.
So what I'm calling to talk about is in today's TV News Lies email.
Yeah?
There was a story about every spring Colorado sells off any unallocated water rights.
Mm-hmm.
And this has always gone to the farmers. They're the ones who need it.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, guess who's buying the water rights up, left and right? because they can outbid the farmers.
You're not going to say the Koch brothers.
Well, it might as well be. It's the frackers.
Oh, the frackers.
Yep.
They need the water to jam into the earth and get that that good old natural gas out of there and that oil and stuff, right?
Yeah, but they get a two for this. They not only get to get the water to use it to jam it into the ground, but then they get to pollute it and leave the pollution for those of us to get sick off of.
Okay, but you know, Kevin, that's the way capitalism works. That's the way it's designed to work. It's designed to take advantage of natural resources and other people's property and other people's health and other people's lives and take the money and screw you. You know, if they leave behind a toxic waste dump that's going to poison children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, hey, damn, move then if you don't like it. That's the way capitalism works, Kevin. Yeah. Always has, always will.
And that's why I don't consider myself a capitalist.
Good for you. Good for you. Nor do I. It's the most destructive economic system I think ever put together.
Well, it certainly has grown into something that I think one day will need to be taken down. And I think that day sooner than later.
So water rights. Now, who sells the water rights? Is it the state of Colorado?
State of Colorado, yes.
Well, that's certainly long-range thinking, isn't it, huh? Sell off your water rights to people who are going to use it to pollute the water that hasn't even been tapped into yet. Or this is insane. You know it's Obama's fault, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's what I hear. Everything's Obama's fault.
Yeah, him and his Muslim buddies over there in Kenya.
Yeah, the Trayvon Martin thing even was a conspiracy.
Oh, that's Obama. Yeah, Obama caused that. That was Obama that really pulled the trigger on that kid.
Yep.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in, pal. It's always good to hear from you. I want you to call in again when you can, all right? Take care, Kevin. Lord, have mercy. What is this? Oh, we had Curveball who revealed the truth. Gee, thanks, Curveball, that everything he told the neocons running the United States was a lie to get them to invade Iraq and murder hundreds of thousands of people. That's what it was, murder. And again, I know murder is a legal term, but when you... When you plan and plot to kill somebody, and then you do it, then it qualifies as murder, of one sort or another. There was all sorts of planning that went into the invasion of Iraq, the occupation of Iraq, the destruction of Iraq. And so the United States of America committed mass murder. There's no way to avoid that. You can, stick dirt in your ears and say, Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck, until hell freezes over, but it's still murder. So Curveball finally fessed up, didn't he? Hey, I'm just kidding. Boy, you people are just dumber than hell. Well, they weren't really dumb, but you had a bunch of people leading your country that wanted to do it. Well, there's more. Guess what Poland said today? Guess what Poland said today? I'll tell you when we come back. 7 past the hour. A couple emails here from Prairie 2 regarding water rights that the caller from Colorado Springs was mentioning. The kind of water rights that are involved in the yearly auction represent water accumulated in reservoirs from snowmelt. The farmers will simply plant less this year, like it was a drought year. And once the frackers are gone, the farmers can plant again in 20 or 30 years, assuming global warming hasn't turned Earth into a planet like Venus by then. And then Prairie 2 also writes, about these crazy bastards that feel like they have to carry a gun to a PTA meeting. I just can't get my mind around that. Whew. You know, there might be a 7-year-old jump up and try to take your sucker away from you, right? Anyway, about being math challenged. Well, you know, somebody might jump up. Prairie 2 writes, right-wingers are sure they will be involved in the one-in-a-million gun incident. The reality is that the vast majority of police officers never in their entire career actually fire their service weapon at anybody, despite the fact that they go looking for the situations where that could happen. The lottery, for example, was designed to take money from these people, and it works very well. The ones that believe, oh, well, I got to have a gun, somebody might... Too bad they didn't stop with robbing them. Now they are using this lack of math ability to arm all of them. Of course, if you stalk people and confront them and shoot them, whether they're a threat or not, the odds go to 100%. I just cannot understand the whole gun thing. I just can't. Poland! As promised, it's 9 minutes past the hour. This hour is brought to all of us by Maggie. Maggie writes, screaming the truth before the lights go out? Support Malloy. Thank you, Maggie. Maggie's our sponsor this hour. According to the Associated Press, for years, the notion that Poland could allow the CIA to operate a secret prison in a remote lake region was treated as a crackpot idea by Poland's politicians, journalists, and the public. Well, guess what? A heated political debate this week reveals how dramatically all of a sudden the narrative has changed. In a string of revelations and political statements, Polish leaders have come closer than ever to acknowledging that the United States ran a secret interrogation facility in the Eastern European country. Some officials recall the fear that prevailed after the September 11th attacks and defended the tough stance that former U.S. President George W. Bush took against terrorists. Tough stance. Yeah. But the debate is sometimes tinged with a hint of disappointment with Washington, as if Poland's young democracy had been led astray, ethically and legally, by the superpower that it counts as a key ally, and then left alone to deal with the fallout. Prime Minister David Tusk said last Thursday that Poland has become, quote, the political victim, end quote, of leaks from U.S. officials that brought to light aspects of the secret rendition program. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to offend a lot of Polish people here, no offense intended, but the Nazis took advantage of your country, too, once it was occupied. How many death camps were set up in Poland until finally the Nazis dropped even that pretense and started burning people to death inside Germany? So now Poland had another aggressive, warmongering, war criminal-led country using Poland again, this time to torture people, and that was the Bush crime family. The AP reports, for years, Polish officials and the public treated the idea that the CIA ran a prison in Poland as absurd and highly unlikely, even after the United Nations and the Council of Europe said they had evidence of its existence. Polish officials repeatedly rebuffed international calls for serious investigations. The idea slowly only began to get serious consideration after Polish prosecutors opened an investigation in 2008. And it goes on. Any officials who were involved in this could, in theory, be charged with serious crimes, including crimes against humanity. Former President George W. Bush writes in his memoir, Decision Points, that he ordered the CIA to subject about 100 detainees to harsh interrogation techniques, arguing that the methods did not constitute unlawful torture and that they produced intelligence that prevented further attacks. Neither Bush nor the CIA have officially said where these so-called black sites were based, but intelligence officials, aviation reports, and human rights groups say they included Afghanistan and Thailand and Poland and Lithuania and Romania and Egypt and Syria and Israel. Poland is the only country that has opened a serious investigation into this matter. Something that the one of the prosecutors says is a sign of maturing in this 23-year-old democracy, with prosecutors, journalists, and human rights lawyers all trying to seek the truth and to establish accountability. Can you imagine that? Prosecutors, journalists, human rights lawyers all trying to seek truth and establish accountability. Can you imagine if such a thing was tried here? Huh? The legal director of Reprieve, which is a British human rights group, said, quote, Poland deserves credit for this step as the first European state to begin to deal with CIA torture on its own soil, end quote. I guess the difference is obvious, but I can't help but think about the Poles who were forced to endure. I'm not saying the Poles were not anti-Semitic. Of course they were. But the death camps, the concentration camps, were set up on their soil, and now the torture camps set up on their soil. Anti-Semitic in the 30s and 40s. I don't know what the attitude there is today. I have no idea. Former President Lech Wałęsa, the iconic democracy fighter, said this, quote, he is, quote, against torture, but this is war and war has its particular rules, end quote. Really? But Mr. Wałęsa, the United States and many other countries were signatories, signed off on the Nuremberg conclusions, the conclusions that resulted in the execution of a number of German high commanders and industrialists or long prison terms. And it was established, Mr. Wałęsa, that crimes against humanity were crimes against humanity, and there was no such thing as, well, as you put it, war is a different kind of situation, has its particular rules. It makes me think of all the times I used to cheer and yelp and holler for solidarity. Jesus, God, that was a mistake too, right, Mr. Wałęsa? Did you feel that way about torture when General, what was his name, Jaruzelski? I forget, the last, the one that went toe-to-toe, more or less, with Wałęsa for the freedom of the Polish people. Jaruzelski, whatever, it doesn't really matter.
On a secret list, he was taking away with his laptop
and as he left, he called out to me.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Two past the hour. From Dave in Kentucky, Dave writes, Mike, the guy who called in about carrying a concealed weapon to a PTA meeting is doing a belated April Fool's joke, or he's lying, or he's violating a local ordinance. Anyway, it's illegal to do so in a Lexington, Kentucky public school building for obvious reasons. Beyond that, whether you got your law degree from Yale or in the mail, you know that the stand your ground laws do not fit within the common law of self-defense. The former, the stand your ground law, represents a demagogic attempt to legalize the paranoid sense of victimhood which Teabag Nation appears to take everywhere it goes, to the crapper, to the PTA, everywhere. To codify that crazy subjective loop into the common law of self-defense. Dave in Kentucky. Thanks, Dave. Michael in Roswell, it must be said that Poland desperately wanted admission to NATO and all the loans for military equipment that would entail, and has made large concessions to the will of the U.S. toward that end, including making themselves a potential target by the sighting of a missile defense installation on Polish territory. The U.S. has always used such economic and military coercion to obtain its ends. One would think the Poles would, given their history, be exquisitely mindful of being used, but the reality is otherwise. They probably told themselves they were being pragmatic. Is the missile launching stuff still in play, Michael? I thought that Obama had either suspended that and replaced it with radar stations or something. I don't know. Madness, huh? Where are we? Here we are. Douglas is in Sacramento. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
You were a little bit of a buzzkill. I was all set for a humorous riff about the gun nuts, and then you brought up serious stuff about torture.
I'm sorry.
Okay, first off, before I forget, I had some possible bumper music to recommend for those Amendment-themed episodes.
Yeah.
Trigger Happy by Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
And The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al also.
Well,
I hope your studio is soundproof, because you're not going to want Molly to hear, especially the second one, even while she's asleep.
Really?
They're both a riot.
Ah,
check
okay.
them out sometime.
All righty.
I think after that, I'll just skip to what I thought about torture while you were coming up, if that's all right.
Sure. Just whatever, Doug.
Okay. I mean, how many times over the years since these so-called wars started have people who are in a position to know come on these shows and told us over and over that torture is not for eliciting intelligence? Torture is for getting people to say what you want them to.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And I've only seen two shows where torture worked, and they were both fiction. One was 24, and one was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And of the two, since Buffy was torturing demons who were supposed to be reverse humans,
right,
that one's more defensible to me.
Yeah, I would think.
I'm just stunned that that's still coming up after all this time.
Right, and if it's not common knowledge, it should be. As you pointed out, when people are being tortured, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, whatever happened to him, he was the one that was tortured 289 times or something. And God only knows whether it's true or not, but I heard he confessed everything up to and including the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
I thought it was Kennedy.
Well, Kennedy. Well, him too, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, torture works exactly the way the torturer wants it to work. Confess to anything and everything. Just confess. It has nothing to do with getting factual information. It's just crazy, Douglas.
It's the ultimate in marketing psychology.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, I reckon. Thanks, Douglas.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We'll be right back. We have two open lines, 877-996-2556. Join us if you dare.
Defining anger management. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Maggie is sponsoring this hour. Thanks, Maggie. Her message, screaming the truth before the lights go out, support Malloy. Thanks, Maggie. And from Helen in Minnesota, she writes, the guy that just called and said he carried a gun to the PTA meeting, those types of guys are cowards. They need a gun to feel like a man. I'm a woman who votes Democratic, and I have a handgun for self-defense. I've never felt like I've had to have it on me, ever. But then, I'm not a coward. I'm not a coward. The Stand Your Ground law was created for cowards, by cowards. Look at Zimmerman, who killed that kid. Coward. Helen in Minnesota. EJ is in Garland, Texas, listening on XM. Hi, EJ.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right.
Hey, man, I just wanted to call and just personally tell you that I've been listening to your show for a couple of years. I used to hear you on YouTube a lot, you know, in little clips, and I decided, well, why not get a subscription and check this guy out? And, you know, I'm more of a left-wing person than I am right-wing. I hate to classify myself in these kind of things, but, you know, you fight the good fight, and I just want to tell you that, you know, all these guys that call you and try to, you know, run their talking points across you, I love how you tear them up, man. Just keep doing it.
What is it that makes you keep listening to the program, EJ? Is it the freak factor? I mean, I'm just curious.
It's the way that you you have your information in order, and you know it's just a glaring obvious BS that they try to pull on you every time. The neocon group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mike, I'm 30 years old. I'm not as well versed as some people are, but I see what's turning our country backwards. You know, I'm a first-generation son of an immigrant, a legal immigrant, you know, and it's just crazy, man. It's not the same country that I remember when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you, you know, you really use your common sense. You know, you're not the kind of guy that would take a gun into a PTA meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I don't think I would ever do that, EJ.
And that's why I respect you, you know, and it's damn right for you to get mad, you know? I mean, you know, you make a joke about anger management, but really it's true, man. I mean, you know, people should get mad. They need to wake up out of this zombification they're in and see, you know, that each of us contribute to the betterment or the detriment of our society.
Man, that's the truth.
You know, and so the reason why I keep listening to your program is because you fight the good fight and never give up, man. That's from a guy in Texas, and you know what Texas is. It's a conservative state, so you know.
Well, EJ, thank you.
Yes, sir.
You made my night. I appreciate the good things you had to say. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. I hope you keep tuning in. I hope you'll call back in again. Thanks, EJ. Zombification. Zombification. The first time I ever heard about zombies, I had no idea. And it was when I was a kid, I was watching some movie about some weird stuff going on in this place called Haiti. And, you know, it was your typical 50s movie, I guess. You know, the white people were down there making everything good, and black people down there, I guess the white folks were just trying to run their plantations, and black folk kept doing bad things to the white folk. And finally, the bad white folk hooked up with the bad black folk, and they had the bad black guy had zombies. And the white people thought this was just great. Zombies, son of a bitch. Zombies. I don't remember anything else about the movie except that and the fact that they scared the bejesus out of me. I didn't know what a zombie was. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in the past decade, the zombies are just everywhere. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, it was vampires for the longest time, and now it's zombies. Hmm.
They even have a 5K race here now. You know, they filmed two of those zombie shows, Walking Dead and
right,
something else.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta now, all these movies and TV shows. And it's called Run for Your Life.
Run for Your Life.
And they do it out here in the woods in Mayred in Georgia, I think it was. And they have the zombie actors, you know, dressed up in the full garb, and they chase you. To inspire you to keep moving. And apparently if you're tagged, you have to stop or, I don't know, give them money. I'm not sure. But
Jesus.
you run for your life.
What really freaks
That's the only way I could run, I'm telling you what, is, you know, if zombie was chasing me.
Yeah. Well, you know what freaks me out? One of the little girls in Kathy's Girl Scout troop, her dad is an actor who has been in several of those...
He has indeed.
Jordy.
And he was in a Buffy episode, actually, which is sort of funny. Somebody mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was a vampire in
one of these. And now he's a zombie.
He's got a very angular look.
He does. Yeah. He's a damn good artist, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about zombies, man. They just, you know, I saw the original Night of the Living Dead, and that was just... horrible to me. I mean, it scared the hell out of me. The only redeeming part of that, I just kept hoping that before the zombies ate one of the women, they'd strip her naked. Well, you know, I was 14 years old. What, you know, what do you expect? Stephen is in Burbank, California. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. How you doing?
All right. How are you doing?
One cylinder at a time, just like a normal four-stroke.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Well, it's been hell down here trying to breathe, not from the pollution, but from the overabundance of pollen, because all the trees and the grasses and the plants in Georgia are aware that the planet is heating up, and they're just joyful, so it makes it hard for humans to breathe, this human anyway.
Well, there's always a silver lining.
Well, that's right, yeah.
But anyway, about torture, it's to subjugate the population, you know, sit down, shut up, and we won't torture you. That's what torture is about. It's not about information.
Right.
And if you torture a zombie, I mean, what's the difference? And when I see I like to use zombie a lot because that means consciousness, you know, like Greek psyche, soul. You have a dead soul, therefore you are living dead, you are a zombie. And it's the psyche, it's the brain, it's the thinking matter, you know, that tries to get you to adapt your environment, and they take away those defenses and you become like a zombie. You're not conscious of what the situation is. Like the right wingers, they don't know that they're being being played for suckers and chumps.
Do they know they're dead?
No. And that's why they call them the living dead zombies, because they have no consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to, you know, try to slice and dice and put people in categories, and I call them, there are the rabid zombies, and then there are the apathetic zombies, and then there are the in-between zombies, and there are the, you know, just, you know, whatever, Lang and Freud and Jung and Euripides and Shakespeare, you know, tries to make them out to be.
Well, you know, I've walked among zombies. Well, last Monday at this time, last Monday, I was hiding under a bed. But during the day, I walked among zombies in our glorious nation's capital. I mean, right there, I was right there, Stephen, on the steps of the United States Supreme Court, not, you know, the great court or the big court, but the Supreme Court. And there were zombies all over the place, and they were carrying signs that said things like, you know, government, keep your hands off my Medicare and crap like that, you know. So I believe in zombies. I do. And I know that they're not as putrid looking as, you know, Hollywood makes them out to be. They look almost normal.
That's true. And we can also look at the Supreme Court and see that, not exactly that they're living dead or anything, but they might be the zombie masters of some sort. I mean, I'm in the Burbank Democratic Club. I'm having a bit of a skiff with these guys because I'm telling them that they're marching in lockstep with the program by supporting Obama. They don't want to hear about the signing about the National Defense Authorization Act. They don't want to hear about the Predator drones and the Hellfire missiles murdering children in Pakistan. They just don't want to hear it. And I was ragging their case.
Well, can you blame them?
I'm going to go back and you know, I'm going to bash my head in the wall. And I'm thinking of an essay like Even Amongst Our Own.
Well, you know? when you write it, send it to me, Stephen. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, boss.
Take care. I have no doubt that Uncle Clarence Thomas is a zombie. I mean, an honest-to-God real zombie. A real one. 10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Maggie Hittinger. Maggie's message, screaming the truth before the lights go out, support Malloy. Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate your sponsorship. Thank you very much. White Zombie with Bela Lugosi in 1932. Really, John? Looks pretty scary, he says. White Zombie. 1932. Bela Lugosi. I have to check that one out. From Hinton, regarding zombies, I think that the movie you were referencing earlier was I Walked with a Zombie. It was an old Val Lewton film from the mid-40s, but I get your and your earlier caller's point. I agree. Keep up the fight. The more we get the truth out there, it'll force more people to think for themselves instead of parroting what they hear on right-wing hate radio. And it makes it harder to drown out our voices with all of the Limbaugh and Fox News speak. No, I don't think it was I Walked with a Zombie. Maybe it was. But I saw it in the mid-late 50s, and I thought it was the original. Maybe that didn't come out to the 60s, though. The original Night of the Living Dead. That was a who directed that? Produced and directed it. Damn. Huh? Ed Wood. No? I don't think so. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. Look who's here. Harold from The Raven in New York City. Hey, Harold.
Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. Are you still in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn right now. I'm taking time out to making burgers to say hi.
Well, thank you so much. Jeez, I need to come by your store. I haven't been to your place since you were in Alphabetville.
Yeah, no, actually, no, that's not true. You remember we did a barbecue for you guys out in Brooklyn?
Oh, that's, did we come out there? I think we did. That's right, we did. Well, how's the business?
Business is good. We do a thing every Monday night called Rockumentary Monday where we show rock and roll things on a big screen. And
yeah.
Tonight we're showing Yes. That's the Yes song.
Cool.
First of all, about monsters, I feel that vampires and zombies are kind of played out for me.
Yeah.
I like ghost stories like The Shining or movies like Cloverfield where they giant monsters step on cars.
Those are good. The monster stepping on cars is pretty good. Yeah.
But speaking of monsters, the reason I called was just to express my fear that if the Supreme Court strikes down health care reform law, I get a letter from Oxford the next day saying my health insurance is canceled. And, I don't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you they send out a slew of those letters the minute that decision comes.
Well, a lot of people are concerned about that, and I think that's what, I think Obama today, I know the right wing is just going to go absolutely frothing mad about the fact that Obama more or less told the Supreme Court, in the vernacular, it would be, hey, come on, guys, lighten up, for God's sake. We're talking about health insurance here. Or we're talking about, to just back off because precedent, whether you agree with this or not, and, the Affordable Care Act, and I'm strictly for single payer, but, and I've had people on this program like Kevin Zeese who said, look, this is not a step toward single payer. It's a step in the wrong direction. I respect what Kevin Zeese has to say, and he may be absolutely right. On the other hand, when I see these right wingers and these teabaggers against, I don't care what they're against, then I've got to figure that there has to be something righteous and good about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I heard that show last week.
With Kevin? Yeah.
Yeah. And he was right, but right now, it's like, if they strike down that law, I feel that a lot of people are just going to lose health insurance and,
Oh, I think so too, because, the health insurance, industry is not in business to provide you help when you need it. They're in business to take your premiums, to make a profit, and then when you need the financial assistance, to figure out a way to screw you. That's the only reason they're in business. I mean, it's capitalism. It's purely and simply the kind of capitalism that is destructive. So
it's absolutely obscene. I mean, you know, anyone who needs chemotherapy or radiation or any kind of expensive treatment, they are of no use to these insurance companies at all.
Yeah. Well, Harold, it's good to hear from you. I'm planning on coming up to New York in a couple of months, just maybe for a couple of days off. I'd love to come over and sit around and drink a beer.
You come on. Come on down. We'll open up the barbecue for you. We're going to have a great time. Always be here at the Boulevard Tavern.
Well, thanks, Harold. I appreciate it. Take care. Take care, pal. All right?
Get Lindenbrook on for you.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Take care, Harold. He had the greatest T-shirts. You still have your Raven T-shirt, don't you? You still wear that, the Raven, NYC. He doesn't call it the Raven anymore, does he?
Apparently not.
No, it's something else. That was a lot of fun that night. The first night we went to his place on the Lower East Side. It was just an absolute hoot. God, I love New York. Well, thanks for hanging out tonight. I appreciate it very much. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.